Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest. Welcome, Charlan Wolf. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How about you, Rayshan?
I'm doing well. Usually guests don't ask that question. You are such a Hoosier, and I so appreciate that. I'm doing really well. I'm really grateful that you're here. Rooted Souls Therapy in Frederick is your company that you and your spouse have founded, and it is a counseling and therapy group.
Correct.
What is the difference between counseling and therapy?
You know, I find it's one of those terms that really end up being interchangeable for people. So most often it's, I think, preference-based for people.
What is your background? Can you give our listeners a bit of who you are in your own voice?
Sure. I am a mental health therapist who is licensed in the state of Maryland. And I like to tell people that I really hope to provide a redemptive experience, that their therapy option or possibility with me could be the type of place where they get to explore new things, where they get to consider new ways of processing and new ways of being.
When you say processing, is that something physical or is that something mental and emotional or all of it?
Yeah, it would be all of the above. It's a way to incorporate the entire nervous system into that process. So considering the physical, mental, and emotional components would all be important in that process for sure.
One of the questions I've always had, and I'm sure some of our listeners have the same question, talk therapy was what had been popular a few years back. When you say encompass the entire nervous system, is that different than talk therapy? Have we matured in our understandings?
I would say that's a really great distinction to make, because I think talk therapy was this idea that if I just talk things through and have someone to maybe support me in the things I need to talk about, that that's the way to find healing. And there's an element of that that's really important because of the relational nature of us as people. However, our nervous systems, we've been learning so much more in recent years about how they store things. They store experiences, memories, and emotions. And so being able to actually kind of learn strategies, maybe sometimes even in the session, doing certain strategies that are going to address certain parts specifically of the nervous system, learning how to move through different states of the nervous system, getting re-regulated, so to speak. So it's different than just, oh, I just need to get this out in talk therapy. Sometimes it's, I need to get something out and learn how to take new things in, might be another way of putting it, as well as I need to get things out and allow my nervous system to re-regulate or recover, so to speak.
When you talk about the nervous system, it takes me a little bit aback and it causes me to process. So when I think of nervous system, I think of anxious butterflies in my belly. I think of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. I think of being ready, the hairs on the back of your neck. Those to me speak of nervous system. Mm-hmm. But the emotion and the reactions our bodies have are tied from our thoughts to our nervous system to our bodies?
Correct. They all are working really in an intertwined kind of way. So while we often hear about the fight or flight mode of the nervous system, we forget that the nervous system also has a mode of actually being in a regulated state, which is the place in which we actually feel able to experience the full range of thoughts and emotions and be able to actually navigate them.
This navigation, is that the research-supported intervention that you offer that's both ethical and clinical and a competent care model?
That would definitely be what that is referencing, so that it's not just, well, I guess going back to that talk therapy phrase, it's not simply coming to receive support, which is something that happens, but you're coming to receive, again, strategies that are going to come from that research-supported place that's coming from learning more about the brain and the body and the emotions and, all of the ways that they work together.
The holidays are coming up, and many people have memories associated with the holidays. Some bring joy, some bring fear, and some bring strategies. Can you help us, when we're looking at those strategies, understanding the alphabet soup that goes around choosing someone professionally to help us with the holidays?
Because when you look up finding a therapist, you're going to see people that are psychologists and counselors or social workers, right? So anything, I guess the main thing that you would want to look for is someone who's licensed. So whether they're a licensed psychologist and they would have PsyD after their name, a licensed social worker, they're going to have LCSW after their names, or like myself, a licensed counselor, and that's going to be the LCPC after their names. So really, anyone who is licensed in those realms will be able to provide competent therapy, whether this time of year or any time of year.
That alphabet soup, I know many times I've hopped on the internet and I've asked Google all kinds of questions. And boy, thank you for clarifying that, because holy moly, that can be really the first step that stops people is finding someone to help.
For sure.
We all have experienced holidays of various different kinds. And we're getting into that holiday season. It starts about October and it ends typically after the new year. It is an emotional time. There are high emotions, there are low emotions, and there's really no good or bad. It's just kind of how you're feeling.
Yeah.
I know in my own family, and our listeners are aware of this, we've had some transitions. My father has passed. And as times change and our children grow and loved ones change and go different ways and go different places and lives start and stop and new ones come along, there's all of these memories and all of these things, and it can be so overwhelming. Where do we even start once we get past Google? How do we even start this process of enjoying our holidays without baggage?
A lot of it goes along with putting into perspective that we do a lot of shoulding around emotions. We can think, I'm supposed to, or I should feel a certain way, or I shouldn't feel this other way, especially when there's those heightened emotions you mentioned around memories or baggage. I remember the first year after my dad had died and experienced that change of the calendar page from October to November, which is when I consider that start of the holiday season. There was that sense of, oh, I'm so excited because I love this time of year. And there was at the same time a sense of tenderness, a not necessarily heaviness. For some people, it can be a heaviness, but a sense of a tenderness of, wow, I'm remembering a lot more. And so making space for all of the emotions to be allowed is one of the first places to really begin. Taking out that good, bad, positive, negative kind of vocabulary that we can put with, oh, this is a good emotion, or that's a bad emotion, but rather just allowing, oh, this is how I'm feeling, and making space for it is really a great place to begin.
I have to ask this because, and it may seem a bit rude, but it's a very genuine question. Making space, I almost hear Saturday Night Live playing in the back of my head with, oh my gosh, I'm having a moment. Is that what you're referring?
I suppose for some, it could be like that. And for others, for some moments, I don't just mean for some people, for some moments, it can be that, oh my goodness, I'm having a moment. For other times, it's simply, oh, wow, I'm having an emotion and I need to simply acknowledge it. Sometimes we just rush past them. We don't actually name what we're feeling, or maybe we are kind of aware of it, but we assume I'm too busy. I just need to go on to the next thing, the next item on the to-do list, which is often, I think, the focus that can happen to so many at this time of year. And so to actually give it a moment where we can have a transition that isn't just, oh, next on my calendar, next on my list, but rather, oh, hey, this is actually what I'm experiencing. And let me just identify it for a second.
Is that something that requires safe space, safe walls, compensated time to move off and do that, much like the Saturday Night Live skit that I'm referring to? Or is that something that can be done quietly in your own way and then move through your day? What might that look like?
I would say Yes to all of the above. So depending on your context, depending on maybe even the level of height to that emotion that you're experiencing. So one of the simplest things I love to teach people about is deep breathing, because it's so accessible that you can do anywhere. If you need to simply name an emotion to yourself, acknowledge an experience you're having in the moment, this could be out Christmas shopping or grocery shopping for a meal. And, oh, wow, I'm remembering something really intensely. I'm noticing some experiences in my body letting me know that something's going on in my emotions or in my thoughts. So doing some deep breaths can actually be a great way to just, I'm acknowledging what's going on, and it may give me a little more ease to the intensity of that moment, because it can happen anywhere. That would be, I think, an example of like the simplest, most accessible type of thing. The kind of experience maybe you're naming of, do I need a little more safety? Do I need a little more time or other strategies? Yeah, that might be something that requires a little extra time and some extra strategies, which I'm more than willing to talk about as well.
I think we might need to talk about those, especially around the holidays. When we come back, let's delve into the holidays and tips and tricks and just good old-fashioned coping to get us through and have a joyful or satisfying experience. Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.